Started. Welcome to
Hallelujah. Come on.
our gathering. So we have services every Wednesday, Friday, Sunday at 5:30 p.m. EST. That's when we go for fellowship. We're starting a little bit early right now, and then the main surgery starts at 6 p.m. EST. What we do for our church, we try to keep it biblical, which is that we all come together as one in the body and like this, and we all share Christ with each other. A lot of you are new to the faith, so today we're going to talk about very simple. We're going to talk about the gospel and assurance. So if you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You don't need one. But if you like to follow along or like to get
Sweet
involved
home
or like
Alabama.
to read with us, you can pull it up. So we'll go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. If you guys want to follow along.
Can I
The
ask
book
the
of Romans.
question?
Yeah,
What
but
about a Bible?
that's fine.
Like right now.
You don't need one. That's
I don't
fine.
have a Greek card. Okay.
I think I have a
Thank
Bible.
you.
Hold on.
What
we
You can use Bible
Well,
Gateway
I'll
to
be
follow
back. I'll be
along.
back. I have a Bible. I'll be back.
All right, well, if well, we use the King James Bible. So if you don't have that version, you can get on your iPhone or whatever and follow along. But today we're
Okay,
going to talk
what about I don't
about.
have a phone?
Then
Okay.
just listen. Then just listen, I guess. So then we'll be talking about assurance of salvation. Now, if I ask, I already asked some of you this question before where I met you. I ask you, if you die today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Some of you said no when I met you. And we took 5 minutes and I explained to you how you can be 100% sure. And I told you all you have to do was believe what Jesus did was for you. And a lot of you believed that and got saved. And so today I want to go more in detail what you have as a believer, how you know you can be more assured. So Romans chapter 4, if you want to look at it, I'll read the verse starting here in verse 1. The Bible says, "What shall we say then? Our Father, as preacher in the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, it were for the glory, but not before God. For saith the Scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him that work is the reward not reckoned the grace, but a debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, how many of you have been told that in order to go to heaven, you must turn from your sins, or give your life to Jesus, or be a good person? Raise your hand, or say, "I." A couple of
I
you.
was told that.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We read right here, the Bible says it's to him that works not. What does that mean? Those who have zero works. You have zero works. And it says, but believeth on him. What does the word believe mean? It means so what? Trust. All right, can you guys be quiet? All right. You guys be quiet?
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Mute your mics, final warning. I don't want to kick you guys out, but we're trying to do a service
Sorry,
here.
he was talking to
All
me.
right. So, in the verse, it says what? To him that works not. Those have zero works, but what? Believe on him. So he's promising you this. If you simply believe on who? Jesus. What he did, he says your faith is counted as righteousness. So does righteousness comes by what you do in your behavior? No. It comes by placing your faith in what Jesus did. And God declares you righteous before God. It's not based on your works. It's not based on your performance, your personality, what you do. It is based entirely on the finished work of Jesus. It is not a feeling.
Look at Yandel's grips. He has porn grips in his body. Don't kick me.
Well, I'm going to. So I mean, my sorry, but it says it's not. So I mean, coming there. All right. So justification, being justified, is you being declared righteous before God. Meaning God sees you right now. Everyone here, right now, regardless of how you feel, God sees you as righteous and holy, not because of what you do. We say I sinned today, preach. I did this or I did that today. It does not matter. Jesus made a full, complete payment on the cross. That is the gospel. Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Listen, here's the gospel I preach to you, and it's that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again." And when we place our faith in what Jesus did, all our sins, past sins, present, and future sins are what? Forgiven. Go back to Romans 4. Look what Paul says, starting here in verse 7. Saying, "Blessed are they," those are believers, "whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are what? Covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin." So the moment you believe, your sins, sins you did today, yesterday, haven't done yet in the future, are forgiven. Why? Because what Jesus did at the cross. Salvation's not based on you. It's not based on how you live. It's not based on what you do. That's what religion has told you. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast." I'm gonna let Brother Spooky speak something. You want to add anything, bro? Let me get a drink of water. So.
I just want to add here, there's other places where it's explained in Romans, the dilemma that most humans are in, where we feel that we have to work for perfection, but the reality is Jesus paid for it on the cross. So Romans 1, 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." So in other places in Romans as well, you see Paul, who wrote Romans, he brings up how we are to live the Christian life as well. The same way that we live the Christian life is the same way that we are saved, which is by faith and faith alone. In Romans 3, he also explains a little bit further, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The important thing here is to understand what he's saying. Everybody sins. Everybody falls short of the glory of God. So your sin is not something that separates you from the multitude of the children of the Father. Being Amen. Justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. So we're justified in Christ, through Christ, and by what he's done. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So what he's essentially saying is that Jesus came down here. He took on our sins at the cross. He died. He was buried. He rose again. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So we are justified freely through Jesus. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So here he's not just saying that we live the Christian life by faith, but we stand in the multitude of grace which is given to us in abundance, hyperabounding abundance by faith in Christ. Jazzy, you have anything to say?
That's fine. So I'm gonna ask you guys something here. How about one of you guys pull up a verse for me? One of you guys pull it up. Pull up the verse, look in your Bible on your phone, look up John chapter 3, verse 18. I want someone to read it out loud. Doesn't matter who you are, just raise your hand or say I if you have it pulled up.
What'd you say?
John chapter 3, verse 18.
John chapter 3, verse 18?
Yes.
I got it pulled up right now.
All right, read it out loud for everybody.
"Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God, one and only Son."
Okay, so again, those who believe on him are not condemned. What does believe mean? It means to trust, rely on. Remember, many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works?" See, those people, they weren't trusting in Christ. They were trusting who? Themselves, their works, their deeds. You know, Jesus said, "Straight is the gate." You know, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, right? Jesus is the narrow way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." Most people today, most Christians, are not trusting in Christ. They're trusting their baptism. They're trusting their good works. They're trusting what they do, them going to church. Oh, I stopped this and I stopped that sin. You think that's faith? That's not faith. That's them trusting in themselves. And the Bible says those people will say, "Lord, Lord, I did all this stuff." But it says only he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? A young man over there. You in the yellow shirt. Pull up John chapter 6 and read verse 40. Here is the will of the Father. This is God's will. Ready? Look what it says. Will of the Father. And Jesus said, "Those who do this will enter the kingdom of God." John 6:40. Read it out loud for everyone here.
Hold on.
Yeah, take your time. John chapter 6, verse 40.
For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have no enemies left. And I will raise them up on last day.
Yep. Okay. So if you believe what Jesus did right there, he says in John 6:40, this will of him that sent me, everyone seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise up for the last day. So Jesus promised to you is what? If you believe in him, you're not condemned, and you have eternal life. And we read in Romans chapter 4 that all your sins are paid for, past, present, future. So if you believe what Jesus did, he says you're not condemned, and you have eternal life, and your sins are forgiven. If you would have died, where would you go?
Heaven.
That's right.
Heaven is where we should go if we believe the gospel.
That's right. Amen. Now think about that. If you die right now, you get in the car, you die in a car accident. God forbid. Disease. You get sick. Whatever. Is it wonderful good news that you have assurance of your salvation? That if I die today, I'll go to heaven? And the Bible says, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? 1 John chapter 5 says this. It says this. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. What do you write? Verse 10. And he that believeth on the Son of God. Notice this. Again, it's faith. It's not works. It didn't say he that gets baptized. He that goes to church. He that's a good person. It says what? He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not on the record that God gave of his Son. What is the record that God gave? Verse 11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. And not just that. The moment you believe, yes, you're forgiven. Yes, you have eternal life. But did you know this? The Bible says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can never leave you or forsake you, because your sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit no longer sees your sins. God no longer sees your sins. But the Holy Spirit has sealed you unto the day of redemption. You know what that means? The day that you get your glorified body at the rapture. That means when you believe, yes, you're forgiven, you have eternal life, but you're rapture ready. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. There's a lot of Christians, I bet today, who are in terrible conditions. So, well, if I go to the club, if I do this, remember, your sins are forgiven. But when the rapture comes, you go up. Not because you're good, not because you deserve it, because you trust what Jesus did. As believers in Christ, our righteousness is not based on our works or efforts, but it's based on what Jesus did. And this is our position in Christ. It's the foundation of our assurance. It reminds us that our salvation, regardless of what we do, is secured in Christ, and that we can confidently approach God knowing that we're forgiven, accepted, and loved, and blessed in Christ. And he has purged our sins. And he has presented you and me to God without spot. Every believer is saved, whether they have the assurance that they are or not. Some people, they believe the gospel, then later on in life, they get what? They start to doubt. Am I really saved? I did this sin. How can I do this? Or, hey, I fell into this. Oh my gosh. They start to doubt. You shouldn't doubt. Because what happened? Your sins were what? Forgiven at the cross. For Jesus, when he died, all your sins were what? Future sins for him. And he made a full, complete payment of all of them. So the very moment you came to recognize that, hey, Jesus died for me, I believe that. When you accepted that for your payment, your sins were no longer imputed to you or reckoned to you. You want to say anything, Demon Hunter or Spooky?
Okay, yeah. The moment we simply believe that Jesus, he died for our sins, was buried and rose again, we have everlasting life. Not temporary, but we have everlasting life, life that shall never be taken away from us. We have everything in Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ the moment we simply believe the gospel. It is so simple and so easy. I mean, all you have to do is literally say, I believe the gospel, that Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. We have a childlike faith. The size of our faith is the size of a mustard seed. That's how much faith we put into the gospel. It is that simple and that easy. It is not hard. It is not difficult. It is easy. Very, very easy and simple.
Yeah, it's as easy as walking through a door or drinking a cup of water. It's that easy. It's a free gift. God says in Romans 6:23, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, if I had a watch for you guys, if I have a watch, and I say, I want you to have this watch, but I want you to go mow my lawn, is that a gift still? No. It becomes what? A transaction, a purchase. So if God says, hey, I have a gift for you, in my word it's a gift, but I want you to turn from your sins, is that still a gift? No. It becomes what? A transaction. So turning from your sins cannot save you. That's not what the Bible says. What does the word repent mean then? Repent does not mean turn from sin. The word repent comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means what? To change one's mind. In the context of salvation, God says repent or perish. What? Change your mind from unbelief to belief. Or what? You will what? Perish. So if you believe the gospel, you have repented. You change your mind from unbelief to belief. Brother Giles, you were going to speak. Go ahead. Would you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, if anybody tells you repent of your sins, I'm sorry for my language here, they're a dog. Like, you know, do not take them seriously. Like, they do not care for you, and they want the worst life for you, if anybody's ever said that to you. Or if you run into somebody going forward today, if you ever feel like sharing the gospel, for like sharing what you've heard here, and they say something like, you go, oh, but you got to repent your sins, you got to turn from this, you can't just do that. Brother Cobra here was saying, the way you get saved is by faith. In the Christian life, it's by the same thing. It's by faith. The just will live by faith. It's said multiple times throughout the Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
I also would like to say something on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep in mind, if someone says you have to repent of your sins, they're actually calling God a sinner. Because in, correct me if I'm wrong, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, it says, and God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them. So that shows you right there, even God repented, but God was without sin. Yep. So what did God do? He just simply changed his mind.
Amen.
So in the biblical sense, we had to simply change our minds from unbelief to belief.
That's what
Luke said.
That means.
Correct me if I'm wrong again. But Luke said, repent ye and believe the gospel. He's basically saying, change your mind, all of you, and believe the gospel.
Yeah. Again, this is something new. People have been told their whole life in religion, churches, it's getting your life to Jesus, making him Lord of your life, surrender, obey, keep his commandments, all this stuff. But I'm going to ask you something. This is the Bible actually said. Read the Bible for yourself. What does it say? Romans 4:5. You read it today. It's to him that works not but believes. It's a free gift. Jesus gave his life for you. See, we got to make the message simple. Paul says it's the simplicity in Christ. It's a free gift. God loves you. You think a loving God would make salvation hard? And of course, I'm using a human argument here. But you think a loving God who loves you would make salvation hard? No. He wouldn't say, oh, I love you, but, you know, you got only a few are chosen to be saved. You just got to wait. That's not biblical. No, you know what Jesus said in John 3:16? You can read it for yourself. Read this for yourself. For God so loved the world. That's mankind. That's us. And he gave us his only begotten son, Jesus, who knew no sin, but became sin for us, so that we can be made the righteousness in him by faith. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and rose again, and whoever believes that is saved. My question is, do you believe that?
I believe that.
What's up?
You know,
that gospel message, say, that's the only thing I put my faith in. That's Amen. The only thing. Nothing else. I'm not capable of doing anything else. I'm only able to simply believe that gospel message, and that's it. That's all anyone can do. Amen.
Amen, yeah. As Drowsy speaks real quick. I want you guys to pull up a verse. Yeah. I want you to see for yourself. Someone pull up Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Pull that up. All right, go ahead. What are you going to say?
I was going through the book of Ephesians the other day, and like right at the beginning, I'm just going to read from Ephesians 1 through 1 to 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It was already set for us to how we were going to be viewed in the eyes of God. As soon as we believe in Christ, we were already planned to be made holy and without blame in his eyes. Like, this is never going to be changed.
No, amen.
If people don't like that message.
Amen. Yeah, that means right now, Ephesians 1 makes it clear that right now, all of you here today are holy and righteous before God. Is it based on your behavior? Nope. Is it based on what you do? Nope. It's based on what? What Jesus did. Who has Galatians 2 pulled up? Raise your hand, somebody. Anyone has it pulled up yet? Galatians chapter 2? You better lock in, guys. I'm just joking. Galatians chapter 2. Take your time if you can't find it. I know it's one of Paul's epistles. There's Acts, there's Romans, and then next to that, that's Corinthians, and then there's, then it should be Galatians. I don't know. And then, hold on, let me look it up on my Bible app real quick. Galatians 2. Who has it pulled up? You have it pulled up? It's after 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter 2. All right, you have it pulled up? All right, read it. Go ahead. Read verse 16. I want everyone to hear this.
Oh.
Read verse 16 out loud. And don't worry about pronouncing it wrong.
Galatians chapter 2, and I put 16.
Yeah, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. 16. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, you're all good. Then after this, you guys have questions, we'll answer them. Yeah, Galatians 2:16. Go ahead and read it if you have it.
A person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. You see that? You're not justified by the works of the law. What are the works of the law? The Ten Commandments. The Semiral Law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, right? You're not justified by that law. You can't be saved by it. He says, but rather, you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. What was the purpose of God's law then? The Ten Commandments. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Or, take up your cross and follow me. When Jesus said all these things, it wasn't there to save you. It was there to bring an end to yourself, to show you you can't do it. None of the disciples took up their cross. Jesus says later on in John 13, you cannot go where I'm going. Where do you go? To the cross. The whole point was to bring an end to yourself. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, who thought he was good to go to heaven, he said, if thou be perfect, go sell everything, and he didn't. The whole purpose of the law was to give him to show your sin. Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no one be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Galatians 3:24, it says this, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to point us to Christ, so we can be justified by faith. And after faith has come, we're no longer under the law. The purpose of God's law was given not to save you, not to justify you, not to sanctify you, but to show you you're a sinner and make you guilty before God. So what? So you can run to Jesus and say, Lord, I trust what you did for me. You're my only Savior. That was the purpose of God's law. Anyone has any questions before we can continue? Any questions? It can be about anything. Just ask a question, anybody. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, the whole purpose of the law was to show us that we cannot keep it, that we can... It was there to point us to Jesus Christ to believe on him.
Right.
Because we cannot keep the whole law. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. One sin is all it takes to break the entirety of the law. And in Romans it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen. So, the whole purpose, we can't keep the law. We're dead to it. As believers, we're no longer under it. We live by faith, the same way we got saved. Do any of you guys have any questions before we continue? About a verse, maybe about anything? All right. Spooky, I think you've been trying to talk. I don't know. You want to say anything?
Yeah, I wanted to speak about Christian living because we've been speaking about the gospel this entire time, but I think we should also give them Christian living.
All right, we can speak about Christian living for a little bit.
So... I'm going to give this verse here. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What he's essentially saying here is that we have the imputed righteousness of Christ. When the Father sees us, he sees the life that Jesus lived here on earth, perfect and blameless, according to the apostles and the gospels, instead of looking at our life in the flesh. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So what he's essentially saying here is that even in the flesh, which we are inherently trapped in the flesh here, while we're on earth during our lifetime, we're not looked at as being in the flesh before the Father. And when we live in this flesh, we live it by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So here it's important to understand the vocabulary that's used. He says, stand fast, therefore, meaning he's exhorting us to stand in or to live our life out in this way. And he says, liberty. Liberty meaning freedom. You know, there's no restrictions. Wherewith Christ has made us free. So he's saying, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free. Stand in and live out, or live your life as if you understand the freedom that Christ has given us. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, which would be the law that we were talking about before.
The Bible is very clear. So this is what you guys got to realize, okay? There's two sides of the cross. What side are we on? Did Jesus die? Yes or no? Yes.
Jesus
okay.
Died for
so
us.
Do we live?
Yes.
Do we live by Jesus' earthly ministry? No. We live by what now? He died. So what did Jesus do at the cross? He died for our sins. Yeah, that's part of it, but not just that. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:15, he abolished the law through his death, and then Colossians 1:22. Through his death, he presented you holy and righteous before God. So we live on this side of the cross, which is grace. We don't live before the cross, which is law. We live on this side now. And we go to Paul, and Paul makes it very clear that God's intention for us is to bring us into sonship. Right? The Christian life is lived by faith, the same way you got saved. So we don't live by take up your cross and follow me. Why? Because on this side of the cross, we've been crucified with Christ. We don't live by the commandments. Why? Because on this side of the cross, we die to the law, and we live unto God. You understand that? So there's grace and law. What are we under? Grace. Romans 6 says we're under grace, not law. So that's why many Christians are confused, because they're mixing what? Law and grace. One side of the cross and the other. And that's why they're all confused up. That's why they're mixing grace with law. That's why there's no assurance, there's no peace in churches today, because they're very confused. When Jesus, for example, the Sermon on the Mount was not for you. When Jesus said all those things, it was to show you you can't keep the law. The whole purpose was of that. But a lot of people, the Lord's Prayer. Jesus didn't do that to show you to pray. Jesus said, if you want to be forgiven, forgive others. Is that grace or law? That's law. So why was Jesus saying that? To show the disciples they can't do it. They don't forgive each other. They don't. They don't love each other as they should. So what did Jesus do? Since Jesus, we can't keep the law, what did he do? Well, he loved you. He went to the cross. He paid your sin debt, but he at the cross, he abolished your death. He abolished the law. Let's go to Colossians 2. I'll read it real quick. Colossians chapter 2, it says this in verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together, having forgiven you all trespasses. So you're fully forgiven of all sins. But look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and taking it out, nailing it to the cross. What is that? That's the law. So God took the law, and he nailed it to the cross. He abolished it for you, so you can live your life in peace. Knowing that you're accepted by grace, you're not by performance, by law. You understand that? Romans 11:6, if it's by grace, then it's no more works. So salvation is by grace. And guess what? The Christian life under this side of the cross is by what? Grace. Not by law, not by rules, not by regulations. That's why we promise you today, you people here today in this church, we promise you full standing in our church, in this community, without law, without rules, without regulations. We're not going to condemn you or judge you. When we had church, and when they had churches back in the day, like Colossians, Corinthians, it wasn't you know, one person speaking, everybody listening. That may be how it feels right now. Again, a lot of you are new. We're all growing, but these churches back then were households. They got together like this. They sat down at tables like this, and they talked to each other about grace. They reminded each other about Christ and who they are in Him. Paul says, "Share the comforts we receive with each other." And we point each other back to who? Christ. He's our what? Righteousness. When a brother falls into sin, we don't condemn that brother. We say, hey, remember, you're forgiven. Hey, remember, you're righteous. Hey, you're holy now. Well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what your feeling says. What does the Word of God say? Every believer is righteous before God because of what Jesus did. That's the whole purpose of church. It's not about one man conquering over you and say, you better listen to me. I'm the pastor. I'm the man of God. You got to listen to me. Give me $10. No. It is all of us, family. We're a family. We come together and we share Christ with each other, reminding each other that regardless of what our state and condition, we're brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ, and remind each other grace, remind each other the gospel. That's what we do. Paul says if you continue in the faith as believers, be grounded, be settled, and be moved not away from the hope of the gospel. And even when you're faithless, God is faithful. But the Christian life is lived by faith on this side of the cross, the same way you got saved. Anyone want anything else, Drowsy? Demon Hunter, Spooky?
Let's see. We're dead to the law. We're crucified with Christ. We are baptized into Christ's body, baptized into his death. And Christ is our new life. We are resting in Christ. Yep. And Christ is working in and through us. We're just resting, and Christ is doing everything else for us. Amen.
No, amen. Amen, brother. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's right. All you gotta do is rest. And the Lord's gonna have to shepherd you into that rest. Alright, we're gonna say Drowsy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm glad to say I brought that video earlier. Overcome. There's gonna be... you're gonna hear certain Christians telling you that you need to overcome your sins and your lusts and whatever your body's whatever you're going through in order to be accepted in front of God and in order to still get to heaven. You already overcame the moment you believed Jesus was the Son of God and you believe the gospel and the testimony of Christ. That is how God considers you, that you've overcame the world. I'm struggling to say this.
Yeah, okay. So First John says this, but Brother Drowsy's right. The moment you believe the gospel, you're an overcomer. That means you're going to rule and reign with Christ forever. Already you're an overcomer. It's not something that you have to wait for. It's all true for you now. Remember this. I'm going to try to explain this in this way. I want everyone to listen. You ready? As believers, those who believe the gospel, God in heaven no longer sees your flesh. You understand that? He no longer sees your sins. He no longer sees the bad things that you do. He no longer sees in the flesh. He has put you in Christ spiritually. This is who you are now. The Bible says in Romans 8:9, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. That's how God sees you. So no matter what state you're in, no matter what condition you're in, you're holy and righteous before God now. Well, what if I do this, preacher? What if after service, you know, I do X, Y, and Z? Whatever that might be. You're still holy and righteous. Why? Because of what Christ did. Remember, your sins are no longer imputed to you. You're an overcomer. You're a rule reign with Christ. Every believer is an overcomer. Every believer is holy and righteous. Every believer is sanctified. All of you. You're all complete in Christ at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you lack nothing. There's not a demand on you. God is not saying, okay, you believe on me, now you better get to work, beef. You better come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. You better run my Sunday school. You better get right with God. No, that's not what God is saying. God is saying, beef, you're right now. You're clean right now. You're holy now. You're righteous now. I want you to rest in my gospel message for you. That's why Paul said to Timothy, be trained up in your righteousness. What does that mean? Be trained up in your identity in Christ. God doesn't see your flesh. The world might. Beef goes to the... Let's say... I'm not saying you do, beef. Let's say, oh, beef is at one of these like weird worlds on VR chat. How he goes to this church, how can he do that? And he's a Christian. That's not his behavior does not determine his identity in Christ. Even if he went to that place, he's still what? Holy and righteous. All of you are holy and righteous before God. Because again, it's about what Jesus did on this side of the cross. You gotta admit that you're a sinner. Why do you think God judged your flesh? Why do you think he crucified you? Because there's nothing good in your flesh. Romans 7:18, Paul says this. I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. God has to crucify you. He had to crucify it. I'm done with it. I expect nothing from it. Your flesh did not please me. God's not pleased with those in the flesh. He said, I crucify your flesh. I'm done with it. Well, God, I did this. I'm done with it. I don't want nothing from it. God did all the work. All you have to do is what? Believe and receive. What about what I do now? Believe and receive. Live your life. They said we got saved by faith. Enjoy Christ. Again, when it comes to Christian service, it comes from an enjoyment of Christ. But again, at the end of the day, God expects nothing from you. You're not in debt. You're not a debtor no more. You can rest in the gospel. What pleases God is you coming forward to him by grace. You enjoying him. You resting in the truth that you're forgiven and accepted. Remember, we're on this side of the cross now. Well, Jesus said this in Matthew. He said this in Luke. again, what was the purpose of those things? To show you, you can't do it. You're not, you can't do it. You have to go to the cross. And Jesus went to the cross for you, crucified you. And through his death, he presented beef, he presented you, he presented me, everyone in this table, in this world today, holy and righteous before God. Not because of what we do, because of what Jesus did at the cross. I'm going to read a verse to you. I'm going to read it out loud. Here we go. We're going to read Colossians 1, the way he says here. I'll read the full verse. Verse 19. Or verse 20. And having made peace. So God made peace. How? Through the blood of his cross, Jesus. By him. To reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven. And you were sometimes annihilated from God in your mind by wicked works. What are those wicked works? Works that we do to try to earn God's favor. Remember that, right? At one point, we were like that. Oh, God, I'll do this for you. Please forgive me. Oh, Lord, I turn from my sins. Those were wicked works, God says. But now, he forgave you, and I reconcile you. And he says this, and through the body of his flesh, through death, this is Jesus' death, to present you holy, unblameable, unprovable in his sight. So according to the word of God, are you holy now? Yes or no? Yes. Is it because you're good? No, because of what Jesus did. You see that? All of you are righteous and holy now because you trust what Jesus did at the cross. It's that simple. Anyone else, anything else you want to add?
Real quick.
What happened?
Let me tell you what's not going up in heaven right now. You know, we've all probably seen it at some point, some little animation or some cartoon we've watched in the back of the day where they would depict heaven and like God or some angel at the at the pearly white gates has like a desk with a book of names in it, and like they got your name in it. God, whatever holding that book is not looking at you and seeing you sin, and they're like, oh, look, he sinned, and then, like, they erase your name out of that book, and now, you know, you not can't get in, like, oh, well, now he went to church, so they put your name back, and, oh, now they went drinking and got drunk, so they erase your name. No, that's not how salvation works.
Yeah. Amen, bro. That's the thing, too. A lot of people say, oh, your name can get blotted out of the book of life. No, remember this. Every person in the whole world is written in the book of life. The only people that get blotted out of the book of life are people who die and never believe the gospel. The names are written out. But those who believe the gospel, your names are sealed in the book of life forever. This is what the Bible says in Revelation 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Again, everyone's name is written in the book of life. But those who believe not in the gospel and they die in unbelief, they never believe the gospel at one point in their life and they die, the names are blotted out. But as believers, guess what? Your name is what? Sealed. Can never be blotted out. And Jesus said this, Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh. Remember, every believer is an overcomer. The same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. But I will confess him before my Father and before his angels. God, you know what? The Lord Jesus is going to confess you before the Father. I don't deserve it. You're right. You don't deserve it. But it's a free gift. He says, you are overcome because you believe in me. And I'm going to confess you before my Father and before the angels. Think about that. That's a free gift from God. It says your name will never be blotted out. Never. All right. I think we'll be ending service. We've been going on for about 30 minutes. Spook, you want to add anything before we end?
I have to go.
All right. That's bye, fine. Y'all. God bless, brother. All right. You want to add anything before we end the service?
No.
All right. That was pretty much it. All right. So we're going to end the service. We're going to go ahead and pray. All right. Father, I thank you for this gathering. Lord, thank you for justifying us. Through Christ, we're grateful that you did not only forgive our sins, but you made us your son and heir, and we're no longer heirs of wrath, but heirs of God, and that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your grace and mercy, and I pray that you help this ministry, help these brothers and sisters here, Lord, to keep growing in grace, and I pray that they receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, Lord, concerning the mysteries of Christ and who they are in you, Lord, and I pray that you keep blessing this gathering, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church dismissed. You have any questions, anybody? If not, that's okay. You have a question? What's up? What's your question?
Me?
Yeah, you have a question, right? Do you?
Yeah, question.
Mm-hmm.
If you how is it that the process of you going to heaven is different if you do or don't commit a sin and you pray or you don't pray and repent against the sin?
Okay, so first off, for, I'll answer your question. So the word repent does not mean turn from sin or stop sinning. The word repent comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means a change of mind. So repentance is when you change your mind from unbelief. So if you believe the gospel, you repented. And the moment you believe, Alexander, the gospel, what is the gospel? That Jesus died and rose again. All your sins, Alexander, past, present, future, forgiven. Okay? All of them. And again, we and the whole point is we can't stop sinning. Paul describes sin in Romans 6 and 7 as a principle that is stronger than us. So all we can do is yield ourselves to God by faith. That's why we need a Savior, Jesus. So when we place our faith in what Jesus did, all our sins are forgiven. Now, as believers, we shouldn't be sin conscious, meaning we shouldn't worry about our sins. We should be focusing on who we are in Christ, right? But your sins have been forgiven the moment you believe. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And again, there's only been a couple of times in the Bible where, only in the Old Testament, where men went up to heaven because there were, it was Enoch, I think, and Elijah, I believe, who got raptured up in the Old Testament. But that's it. But now, again, but all are under sin. And when we place our faith in the gospel, we're fully forgiven of all our sins, and we have eternal life. All right. Thanks for coming for our gathering. Church dismissed. You're free to stay here. Do whatever you want. You can hang out, leave. It's all good.